Hi, friends, and welcome to the Grace Hour. This is our last program for this week. We've been talking a lot about vision. This is a great week. If you can go back and listen to all the programs along with today, you have a nice little portion on vision. And for those of you who are new to the program, we are a Christian program that takes a dive into our daily challenges and helps us to operate in our faith in a very practical way. I'm Pastor Ronaldo Brown, and I'm in studio with Pastor Chiavelli. And as I said before, we've been talking about vision. We'd love for you to join us with your questions and your comments on our YouTube feed and on our Facebook feed, as well as also on questions@gracehour.org. Excuse me. You can also check us out on the podcast, Apple, Google, Spotify, and Amazon Music as well. But today we're going to start off with a comment from Pastor Chiavelli about vision.
I like the word vision. Maybe you don't have such good vision with your regular eyesight, you know? And do you ever get like something stuck in your eye, like a little piece of dust? In working in Africa, mm-hmm. You're driving up roads in the bush mm-hmm. and anywhere, and you end up getting like something in your eye, and mm-hmm. it really aggravates your eye. Then it aggravates your mind, and then you got this like little piece of dust in your eye, and you can't get rid of it, and it really thwarts your vision. Well, Satan loves to throw little pieces of dust mm-hmm. and dirt into a vision. And without a doubt, if you have a vision, I like how the Amplified reads in this, Proverbs 29:18, where there is no redemptive revelation, mm-hmm. people are undisciplined and they run wild. Mm-hmm. And really, they have no leading and no direction. So it's very important that we have a vision. We have a vision, and it comes from the Bible, too. It's not, you know, some of these people that walk around saying, well, God spoke to me. Mm-hmm. I had a man say that to me one time in Massachusetts. He came into a meeting, and he said, God has told me in a vision that I'm the pastor of the church. I said, well, that's really interesting. Would somebody take him out, you know? And they did. I think it was Jim Jasmine. You know, it took him out. I said, would you, you know, so his vision was a vision that was distorted by demons and his subjective mind. And so some people, they claim to have these visions, but maybe it's just their subjective mind mm-hmm. kind of going towards something that they think would cause them a lot of pleasure and whatnot, and it would put them on top of something. So without a vision, without a redemptive revelation, and obviously a redemptive revelation would include the person of Jesus Christ and the work of the cross, mm-hmm. finished work. Without a vision, people perish. People perish. They have no discipline. They have no direction. They have really no purpose. And so we see that vision is very important when we bring it into the context of what it really means, not just some dream. And all, okay. I know they use dreams in the Bible, and it was used then. That was before the written word, it was totally put together. But without a vision, a redemptive revelation, people really have no discipline and have no direction. So I, along with all other believers, we need a redemptive revelation. We need a vision, or what direction are we going in? And we can see Christianity taking so many different directions, you know, and some Christians would want to be so politically orientated that they forget about the gospel and they don't even evangelize at all. It's all about politics. It's all about money. It's all about some kind of denominational bent that they have towards something, you know. It's all about baptism, and we certainly believe in baptism, you know, but it doesn't save you. But they go off in these different directions because they really have no redemptive revelation of the person of Christ and the work of the cross. And without that, people can go off in so many different directions. And we see the Apostle Paul is a great example of this. And I think I found 7 visions in the book of Acts, 7 different visions that God gave him, mm-hmm. revelations that God gave him. It all had to do with church planting and evangelism, which is really interesting. Mm-hmm. You know, do people get that kind of a vision? Or I had a vision that I became a millionaire. Or I had a vision that I was going to be the pastor. I'm going to be the pastor of the church. Or I had a vision that somebody told me one time, God showed me in a vision that my wife was going to die and I was going to marry this other woman. I said, oh, really? I said, I know where that vision came from. I said, that's called demons. Demons and your subjective mind, because you're struggling in your marriage, you know? Yeah. So what is vision? And what is the vision and the proper understanding of that vision? And 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 1, the Bible is very clear there about a vision, that there was given a vision. They had a vision without a key. Ezra, in Ezra chapter 1, verses 1 through 4, had a vision to him given to him by God. Who is there among you? His God be with him. Let him go up to Jerusalem and build the house of God. They got a vision to build God's house. Mm-hmm. It wasn't a vision just for evangelism or the gospel, but a vision to build God's house. And he said, who is there among you? His God be with him. So in the vision, we have a redemptive revelation of the person of Christ and the work of Christ. And we know that in the vision, God will be with us and put everything together step by step. Mm-hmm. And this is so key. So key to understand. And without that, where do people end up going? I've been thinking a lot about the last couple of days about Paul speaking about a race and a fight. He spoke much about a race and a fight. So in his vision, in his redemptive revelation, he knew that there was going to be an involvement with a fight, a spiritual fight, and a spiritual race. I fought a good fight. I finished my course of my race. I kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness to all them who love his appearing, not just him also. So this incredible fight and race and the vision that he had, having a vision, having a personal vision. How about a personal vision to study the Bible? A personal vision to come to church. That's a pretty good one, isn't it? Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't even know what happens if you don't have that. A vision to have a local church assembly. A vision to win lost people, to speak to lost people about the gospel. A vision to have a marriage that glorifies God. A vision to raise a family. A vision for your place of employment, that you're not just there to make money, but you're there to reveal Christ. There's a vision for young people. Pastor Love has had a vision for young people for decades, mm-hmm. a vision for other parts of the world, a vision for India, vision for Asia, a vision for geographical places in the world. And this is so key, having a vision, a redemptive revelation, because if I don't have that, where do I begin? Mm-hmm. Well, what happens to me? What takes place in my life? It's kind of just like grabbing at straws in the wind. Mm-hmm. What is actually going on? I love Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Looking mm-hmm. aphorao with a fixed mind, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of faith, mm-hmm. who for the race that was set before him endured the cross. So there was a vision that was given. Paul had a vision in Hebrews 12, verses 1 and 2. Paul had a vision in Acts 20, 24. Nothing moved me. I'm going to bring the gospel. Mm-hmm. Nothing moves me. I'm going to bring the gospel wherever I go. And you can see vision and how important this is in a Christian's life. David had a vision, kill Goliath. And in killing Goliath, he put the Philistines on the run. So this vision would bring in discipleship, would bring in the gospel, would have an eternal purpose. This is a vision and how important it is for us to have it. You know how many times in 1 Corinthians chapter 9 the word gospel is mentioned? 10 times. Mm-hmm. I wonder what Paul was saying there. He was saying, do you have a vision, you Corinthians? Do you have a vision for the gospel, or are you so involved with each other's problems and all the disputes that are going on, and the carnality and the things that are taking place? And I'm for Paul, I'm for Apollos, I'm for Cephas, I'm for Christ, broken off into party spirits. When you have no vision, this is what can happen. Mm-hmm. People can go in any direction in the church, and it becomes something that's factioned off. There's no vision. Does anybody have a vision for this country? Hmm. Huh? Do pastors, and how about leaders? Even leaders in the country, do they have a vision that this country would be a Christian country based on Christian values? Mm-hmm. Or are we so, what has happened to politics even? You know, what happened to vision, a real vision? You know, and this is so key. Without it, we are just kind of going off in many directions based upon our own spiritual bent per se, or the way that our subjective mind wants to take us. So vision. Paul had it in Acts all over the place.
Sure.
By the way, he had a vision of a man having a vision, and he got converted. Acts chapter 7.
That's right.
He saw Stephen having a vision, And then Paul had vision after vision. In Acts chapter 9, mm-hmm. We see Peter having one in Acts 10 and 11. Mm-hmm. We see Paul in Acts chapter 14, Acts chapter 16, Acts chapter 17, Acts 18, Acts 19, 20, 27. We see his life is filled with redemptive revelation that would lead him mm-hmm. in a direction, not lead him into obscurity and promoting himself and putting himself up on a pedestal and saying, I've got the vision, you have to listen to me. But he would have a vision that would be personal and practical in the Christian life. So in Jesus' name, let's talk about vision today.
It's amazing Amen. How you kept talking about this phrase, subjective vision. I'd love to say more about that. I'd love to hear more about that. And you can join us with your questions and your comments on our Grace Hour feed on YouTube or in Grace Hour feed on Facebook. We'd love to hear your comments and questions. Please chime in. We'd love to hear that. That being said, Pastor Billy, this idea about a subjective vision, it's like it's my mind. I have desires, things I want to do, mm-hmm. and they may not be sin. They may not be bad. They might even be in the kingdom. But oftentimes we tend to look at other people and we start to compare and compete. And all of a sudden we want a vision like the guy over there.
Yeah.
Because that guy has fruit. Or if I do what he does, I'll have what he has. A Baruch spirit. If I do what I want to do, then I'll have joy in my call. Or they always link the vision to a call. And and it's very easy to be subjective in your vision and your vision's not from God. But it could be a good thing. Could be a good thing.
Yeah. I mean, if it's not subjective, like I said, and a vision, if I have a vision in my life, I'm in a local church.
Okay.
And wouldn't the leadership of the church kind of put a stamp of approval on that vision? I would mm-hmm. go to them and say, I have a vision. I did this in the first church I was in Massachusetts. I said, I have a vision to help people coming out of prison or that have drug and alcohol problems. And I would like to open up some homes, one for men, one for women. It ended up actually being two for men because I didn't have the right people to handle the woman's home per se. That was a little bit more of a difficult thing. But I brought this to people and I said, I'm out on the streets. I meet people all the time. I work in prisons. People got problems and they need a place. They need to be able to go from prison and maybe they can't right away go right into a situation where they can make it, but they need to come into a place. That's what I guess they call them halfway houses.
Yes.
You know? But they were called the Life House. So I brought this vision to the church and they said yes. Mm. And then the vision brought people. It mm-hmm. brought in Jerry Consolini. Mm-hmm. It brought in Randy Bertocchi. It brought in Eddie Narcisse. And these guys became workers in the halfway home, in the mm-hmm. vision. Mm-hmm. And this is what key. So if it's a vision from God, it will be supplied.
So you
know,
say
a lot of times people yeah. have a vision and there's never any. Nothing ever happens. You know why? Mm-hmm. Is God in it? There's the key.
So you're talking about, okay, first of all, there has to be a witness. And I think the challenge that a lot of people have yeah. is that I've got a vision for something and leadership
excuse me.
Doesn't recognize it, doesn't have a witness about it.
Right.
And then it makes the relationship adversarial because yes. you guys are holding me back. You're not letting me do the thing that God has given me a vision to do. You know, I got to do this thing. It's so in my heart. It's so, and you can get very, very emotional. You can be very, very attached to that, right?
Well, yeah, because is the vision coming from God? Like I had a man one time and he was having problems with women.
Okay.
And then he said that God has called him to a vision to go down on the block and convert people that were in that lifestyle. I said,
the block
I don't
place
really,
where prostitutes
yeah,
hang
I don't
out.
Think
okay.
that's, I don't think this is good. Yeah. You know, I don't think this is good and whatnot. And then he realized it after a while that, mm-hmm. you know, you're right about that. Or I have a, are you kidding me? I have a vision to work with people that have drug problems. You better know what you're doing.
Yeah.
You know why? Otherwise, you will find yourself, this happened to one person one time. They stole his car. They took everything. Mm. He was just so naive.
Yeah.
Such a nice guy. Here's the keys, you know, okay. and whatnot. We got to go to the store. They weren't going to the store. They were going to buy dope, yeah. you know. So the fact is your vision submitted to the vision of the church?
Okay.
This is the key. Like I went to Pastor Stevens and he asked me one time, like, you know, you've had a mindset and you've been geared towards going to Italy mm-hmm. or Europe as a missionary. Mm-hmm. And he said, did you ever consider Africa? And I said, no, I haven't. And I said, I've worked in the inner city for years and I don't really think That's what God's called us. But the more I prayed about it, he left it. The more I prayed about it, the more I thought about it, the more God began to make it a reality. Mm. And so I went for the first time in 1986, and God spoke to me in the Bible in a message, Luke 4, 18 through 21. Mm-hmm. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, for he's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. And that was the verse God gave me, and I said, I'm going to Africa. How? I don't know. Where? I'm not really sure. Who's going with you? I have no idea. I just know that God's called me to Africa. And then Pastor Dwayne came along, right, and different people came along, and people came from Springfield. People came. You know what? I even brought people. I didn't even know who they were. Pastor Stephen sent me some people there. I didn't know them personally, but I trusted his discernment and he in knowing. So the vision took root. And the vision, and that was in 1986, and now there's over 300 churches in Africa.
Sure.
See, that was a vision from God. It's not for me personally. It was a personal vision for me, but it's not what man does. It's what God does in the vision.
So walk me through that again. Okay, so
excuse me.
God gives, in your case, God gave it to the leadership.
Yes.
But in some cases, God gives it to you, and you bring it to the leadership.
Exactly.
And then at that point, there is a double witness. I could use that phrase.
Yes.
And then from that point, there's going to be resources, there's going to be provision, there's going to be
fruit. All those things would happen.
Okay.
You know, when
people
struggle with all these things not happening, you have to wonder, is it from God? You know, because God, won't God supply your needs? If God gives a vision, is he going to give you a vision and say, now go out and make it happen, or I'm not going to help, or there's nobody going to be able to finance you, their leadership is not going to be for it?
But that's, there's the rub right there. The rub right there is like, okay, I have this vision, but nothing's happening. When can I say, is God then in this? Because sometimes it's adversity and nothing's happening, and it is God. And then sometimes nothing's happening, and it's not God.
Judson's in Burma for 7 years, doesn't have one soul.
Yeah.
Takes seven years for a convert. You got to be able to hear from the voice of God.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then that means also from people who have the Spirit and listening, not always walking around asking for advice, but listening to people. Mm-hmm. And there are people, yes, you want them to give you advice. So where there is no vision, people have no direction. They go in so many different directions. There's no vision. So leadership needs to have a vision. Does the father need a vision for his family?
He does.
He absolutely does. Do parents need a vision for their children?
They do.
Absolutely do. Does a man of God need a vision for a Christian school?
He does.
He absolutely does. So whatever it may be, does God give a vision for somebody working in the business world? Absolutely. Mm-hmm. You got to have a calling to do that, to be able to infiltrate that world and minister in that place. And God gives a vision. Now, where he gives somebody a vision, I could probably never do that.
Yeah.
I can't do that because God is not giving that to me. And I look at it and I think, wow, I can't do that. But God has given a particular person or group of people a vision, and they can do that because God's in it.
But I like how you framed it in the sense that it's under the covering of the church.
Yes.
So it's going to be a vision under the vision. It's not going to be a vision that's apart from the vision.
Right.
And then that is the rise, in some respects, that is the rise to parachurch organizations.
Yes.
Those are visions that are really liaised with the church, but are not really under a church.
We know that God uses parachurch groups, but that's not God's perfect plan. Mm-hmm. God's perfect plan is the church. Wow. It's always been the church, you know. What does para mean? Alongside?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. What is that? I don't understand that, you know. So I'm not saying that God can't use them.
Okay.
But I am saying they're not the perfect will of God.
Okay,
that might cause controversy today, I don't really care. I'm not really concerned about whether it causes controversy or not. That's just how it is.
Okay.
God uses them. And by the way, I have seen them be used in Africa and whatnot, without a doubt. But it doesn't mean it's God's perfect will. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't mean it's the perfect will of God. And even some of those organizations recognize the importance of the church.
Yes.
And they tell you to go to church.
They
tell you to have a local church. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just some of these people that have gone off on a tangent and have said there's no need for a church. You be a part of this parachurch group, you know, and that's wrong.
Let's do the work of the church.
Yeah. Full gospel businessmen telling you, you don't need to go to church. Just be a part of the full gospel businessmen's meeting. No. That's wrong, and that's not scriptural, and that's not spiritual.
Okay.
And it can be used by God. By the way, just because something is used by God, Balaam's ass was used by God. Balaam's ass is not going to heaven, okay? I mean, he spoke, right? The dumb ass spoke.
We're going to need to edit that.
Here we go. It's in the Bible.
Okay. Yeah. All
Josh, right. Are you still with us?
So we just asked the question. So that's the thing. It's like, okay, I'm doing my own thing over here, and this is the vision. The guys in the church didn't say that I could do the. They didn't get a witness about it.
But right.
I'm so driven that I'm going to do it anyway. Right.
Well, you know what? Let me say this about that. As a leader, when people come to me with things, and maybe I'm not so sure about it, or I don't think it's the will of God, I must be careful because they need to come to that conclusion. So go ahead and try it.
Okay.
If you really believe this is what God wants, I don't say no to people.
Okay.
Unless it's a situation where it can be something that is very clear this is not going to work.
Uh-huh,
it's just very evident that it's not going to work. What would be a good example of that?
Okay.
A person that got delivered from gambling working in Las Vegas and ministering there. And that might be okay if it's a real conversion, but if the person is struggling in that area, that's not a good idea.
Sure.
That's not a good idea. It's like a person that is struggling and they've had victory and they've had a victory over drugs and whatnot, them ministering to addicts might be at a point in time, but maybe not right now. Maybe you need to really get established, you know? And that's why, by the way, what happens when you put all kinds of people together that all have the same problem? I don't want to talk about, I'm not going to mention their names, okay? But we're all addicts. We're all drug addicts. We're all alcoholics. We're all gambling addicts.
Okay.
When you put them all together, I think that's dangerous. I think, isn't it true that God started the church, not just a group of people with the same weaknesses and same problems? We need to be around strong people, help weak people.
Okay.
This is important. But if you got all weak people in that area together, then I really wonder what can take place. You got to be very careful with that. I'm not saying it can't work in some instances, but overall, it's the church.
Yeah.
It's not these groups that meet together with maybe they've got good intentions and all that. But, you know, we've seen good intentions go the wrong way, too.
Yep.
And what's taking place. So
I like how you framed that in the sense that it's the vision for the believer is always going to be in some measure incorporated and connected to the church because the body of Christ is church.
Yes,
it's a church.
Yes.
And oftentimes, if we're not careful, the vision becomes the goodwill of men.
Yes.
To do good on the earth, to be moral, to be concerned, but not to be scriptural or biblical or even connected to the church of God. And is thousands of visions out there. I've got a vision to be a chiropractor to straighten people's backs in northern Indonesia. And that's a vision. But it's like, oh, we just have a vision to help. It's like it's gone from a redemptive vision from God to a vision to help people.
How about this one? I have a vision to plant the church in some country.
Okay.
But I don't evangelize in my local church in Baltimore. You know what? Your vision is subjective. Your vision is hyper-spiritual. Your vision is strange. Your vision is not from God. Because if you really cared about souls, wouldn't you be involved in your local assembly?
Yeah.
You care about souls. I want to go disciple all these people. Who are you discipling in your home church? Nobody.
Yeah.
Oh, so you're going to do something over there. You think geography is going to make a difference?
This is
what some people say.
Stay right
you
there.
Know, the geography, I'm going to handle this geographically. I'll do it over there.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of like, how about people that go off from a local church as missionaries? Then they come back home for a month to convention, whatnot.
Yeah.
You never see them on outreach. You know what? How's that? You like that one today? If you're listening to this, don't see you on outreach. You don't even care about it. You know, so you're Mr. Missionary. Being supportive.
That's for over there.
That's for over there. But I come here and I don't care if everybody goes to hell. No, that's exactly how it is.
Wow,
it doesn't make any sense to me.
Mm-hmm.
That means that it's not balanced. So, with a vision, God's got the vision,
right?
And he's the head. He gives the vision to the body, and I'm in the body, so I need to go to the leadership of the church. And maybe nobody has done something.
Okay.
Maybe there's nothing like this taking place with maybe addiction ministry.
It's new. It's fresh.
It's something new.
Okay.
But it might be from God. It might be from God. But I want the leadership to be behind me, praying for me, supporting me, even encouraging if other people have interest. Yes, go and be with him, per se. Whatnot. So there's a vision. Dr. Stevens had a vision for a program.
Mm-hmm.
Was it called Grace Hour?
It is.
How many years old is that? Is it more than 55?
We are running toward half a century.
More than that, I think.
Over half a century, actually.
Okay.
Yeah.
God gave him a vision for talk radio.
Okay.
And talk radio was the vision God gave him. And here it is, 5 decades later, it's still being done. It was from God.
Yes.
It was from God. And so there'll be fruit. If it's God's vision, will there be spiritual fruit? Yes. If it's your vision, what kind of fruit will there be? It won't be fruit that remains.
It might be a work and it won't be fruit. And there's the difference. I think maybe people are settling for work. Mm-hmm. I'm doing a good work, but not a godly vision.
Yeah.
And imagine for yourself, you stand before God at the judgment seat and you had a life that was full of good works, but no redemptive vision.
No rewards.
But the thing is, you want to help people. But my goal is this. Do I want to help people at the expense of knowing God? Or do I want to know God that creates a capacity to help people?
Yeah, I want to know God and he creates a capacity to help people. Mm-hmm. This is so important, you know, so key. And so without a redemptive revelation, without a spiritual vision,
right,
without a vision that's based on the Bible, the Word, the church, the body, the gospel, where's that vision coming from? And what's it all about? And we're certainly going to not try to control people's decision-making in regards to a vision. Okay. If this is your vision. But like, say you have a vision to reach a certain type of people, a certain group of people,
okay,
people with a certain weaknesses or whatnot. And the church doesn't particularly have that leading.
Okay.
So what do I do? Yes. I have to be very careful because I want to create a capacity in a person to fulfill and go forward in their vision, but I might not necessarily want to send people with them to help them in it. It all depends on what it's about. Now, how do I bring that for an example? Somebody has a vision to reach drug addicts. Well, there are certain people that should not be involved with that.
Okay. Yeah.
There are certain people that it might not be very good for them to be involved. There's a desire to reach certain people that are out between the hours of 1 o'clock in the morning and 4. Well, I'm not sending my kids out to do that. Okay. In other words, like, yes. Okay. God gave you that vision for the block or whatever it is.
Yeah.
But you got to have real spiritually mature people who are going to be going with you. Not somebody that got converted last week because it might just be a big problem, you know? So the church has the vision.
Okay.
And the church is in the vision and the church promotes the vision and I'm part of the church. And so I'm in absolute oneness with the church in the vision that God has given. Like I said before, I said to Pastor Stevens years ago, like, I have this thought about Africa because we don't have anything in Africa at all. And he looked at me, he goes, "You're right." And I said, Did we have a vision to reach the world? Yes. But Africa somehow did not come on the scene at all for all those years. And so I said this in 1986, and I said it to him. I was in the church in Springfield at the time, but I said it to him, and I asked him, "What do you think?" as a spiritual grandfather at the time and as a spiritual input in my life. And he said, "You should give it a shot, you know?" And I, by the way, went to the local church, my leadership that I was under there, and they weren't really keen about it because at that particular time, I was running a Christian counseling center, two homes for addicts. I was the outreach leader and I was teaching in Bible school and also overseeing the Christian school too at the same time. And they said, no, you can't leave. It's too, I said, listen, I have really good people in all those places and I've discipled for years. And so they weren't real happy. One day at a dinner at 627 State Street, Pastor Stevens got up and he said, like, "I'm sure at some point, very soon, within the next few months, you're going to let this man go to Africa."
Oh, my God.
That was the end of that. That was it. I was gone. You know? They agreed, too. No, they agreed. It wasn't like they just understood that this was a vision for the ministry, not just the ministry in Springfield, but for the ministry. We have a worldwide ministry. So
yes.
How important that is.
Another thought I was thinking about also with this verse, and this is a much preached about verse. It's a much talked about verse. This idea about perishing, this idea of people perishing, what that really means and what that really looks like. Because a lot of times I've heard ridiculous
about that. Right.
Ridiculous.
I mean, it just means you have no direction.
Okay.
Perish doesn't mean you're going to hell. You know, in other words, like you get saved and the first, second, third day, you don't have a vision, so you're lost. No, it's got to do with a direction and a purpose.
Okay.
Because there's a lot of Christians and a lot of churches that do not have a purpose nor a direction.
Wow.
They are saved and they're born again, but they don't have any specific purpose or direction. They don't even care about the gospel.
And they're in the body, but they're going to church, right?
Oh, yeah.
But there's nothing there.
Nothing's happening.
Wow.
There's no vision. There's no direction. There's no, maybe they even know there's a purpose to glorify God, but there's no particular personal direction in it.
Mm-hmm.
And so, we perish. Yeah. If I don't have a vision, Well, like, how long are you going to do this for? I mean, you know, you're getting close to 80 years old. Till I'm dead, yeah. Knucklehead, you know? I mean, come, not you, you know, people. Come on, I don't want to hear that. I want to have a vision till I go home to be with the Lord. I want to be productive and fruit-bearing, you know? Yeah. Not saying, it's time to retire. Somebody asked me about retirement once. Mm-hmm. The only time I retire is when I changed my car tires. That's when I retire.
Which you don't do.
I don't. Somebody else does it.
Exactly.
Sometimes my wife said to me, that tire is like half bald. I said, Really? I didn't notice. I was looking at the other half.
Oh, God. But it is something to be in a body of Christ, to be in a church, a local assembly, small or large, mm-hmm. and not have a sense. And you're perishing, but you don't know what that really means. You're wandering. Yeah. Jeremiah 14:10, we're prone to wander, and without a vision, I can kind of hide in the body. We're a big church. You can hide in the body.
Oh, yeah.
And not have a vision, have a purposeless life, to have a visionless life, and you're wondering, what am I doing here? And after a while, you start leaving though you're here, and before you know it,
you're gone.
Yeah,
you're gone. Or you're in the church, but you're gone. You're just sitting there. I was as one that was dead in the midst of the congregation. Mm-hmm. Proverbs 5, you know.
That's a good
verse. And
the
thing is like, you know, I'm there. Mm-hmm. What is my purpose? What is my vision? What am I here for? Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying you're supposed to know that in week one, month one, year one, or whatever, but over the course of time, that's why it's important to be trained in the Bible.
Yes.
Because God will become very clear, precise, and specific about the direction he wants you to go in.
Okay.
You know, he wants you to know him for sure. He wants you to be in the church, but there may be something very clear, precise, and specific that God has for a person's life. Some people are very good at, some women are very good at women's ministry. Others maybe are not.
Yep.
Some are good with help with it, a helps ministry. Maybe they're bringing food to people. They're doing something. They've got a certain direction that they're taking, and it is all for the church, the body of Christ. Some people have a prayer ministry. They have a vision to be a person that's praying all the time for the church and for people when they go out on evangelism. This is a great prayer ministry. They have a vision to be a prayer warrior. Mm-hmm. They have a vision to give. Yep. Some people could have a vision to give. What was the name of that guy? You know, the heavy equipment.
Lee Tourneau.
What was the name of that heavy equipment?
It was Caterpillar.
Caterpillar. Yeah. He gave 90% of his money to God and kept 10 for himself. He did the exact opposite, and he became a multimillionaire. Mm-hmm. And the more he got, the more he gave. Mm-hmm. He had a vision for giving.
Yeah.
Some people could have that, a vision for giving. So it's amazing. So here's Christianity. Why do we need people with a vision? Why? Simply because Christianity is a race and a fight. Mm-hmm. I've been studying this a lot lately. It's a race and a fight. Paul said it in 2 Timothy 4:7. I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I kept the faith. 1 Corinthians 9:24-27. A race and a fight. 2 Timothy 2:1-6. A race and a fight. And you can see this going on. You know, I like how David ran to Goliath. He mm-hmm. ran to the fight, you know. Mm-hmm. And so how important it is for us to have this vision. We saw it all through the book of Acts. We saw this all through the book of Acts. And this is what was motivating people, because Paul was promoting, propagating, and putting feet to the vision. Mm-hmm. How about people that have this vision, but they never put feet to it?
Well, the majority of people that you find that struggle with the topic or the principle of vision don't have any, and are wondering how to get it. In fact, they're listening to this program trying to figure out how do I get a vision?
How?
I mean,
read the Bible, number one.
Okay.
Okay, be in a local church, number two.
Okay.
And then mix faith with what you hear and ask God, say, God, what is the particular aspect of the ministry you'd like me to be involved with? But I think, first of all, being trained is important, mm-hmm. being an integral part of the body of Christ. And then maybe God shows you some area. Mm-hmm. You know, where he wants to use you and you have gifts for.
Okay.
Say, okay. And whatnot. So you go to the leadership and it's not just you getting it from God, but is God going to use the leadership? Didn't the five men in Acts chapter 13, the five leaders of the church, the Spirit said to those five, separate unto me Saul and Barnabas for the work I've called them to do. It was the leaders who got the vision and separate mm-hmm. to me and for me, Paul and Barnabas. Okay. Mm-hmm. Paul was one of the five leaders, yeah, but there was five of them. And so the church with sound doctrinal leadership can be a very integral part of the vision, promoting the vision and helping a person to see what their part is in the vision. And I think this is so key, not to just say, I want to discover this on my own, which is great. You need to hear from God, but I also would like to hear from the church.
Yeah, you're making this direct connection here. It seems as if the leadership, not just the body of Christ, but the leadership is an integral part to me discovering, yes, a personal vision for my life.
Yes. And maybe there's a lot of suggestions that can take place. Maybe there's things I haven't thought about when I'm thinking about a vision. You know, when I thought about like helping people that had drug and alcohol problems, it was going to be quite a lot to that. It wasn't going to, sure, just be like, I'm going to help them and have them come to the office, you know.
Mm-hmm. True.
But that I wanted to take the next step. What happens to them when they come out? And that took planning. That took the church being behind it.
Okay.
That took the church saying, yes, we even have two pieces of property, two houses. We'll help you in the rental of those two places. And then church people being involved in the counseling,
okay,
and using that. So that was so key.
It's amazing how it's amazing how when you have a vision, just how, the way it can grow.
And it comes together. So it comes, yeah, together so easy.
Really?
Jesus said, by the way, what is it that Christianity has such a difficult time? My yoke is what?
It's easy.
Easy, and my burden is light. If it's not easy and light, then it's you. Mm. You're yoked to you. If I'm yoked to me and not to God, nothing's easy.
Let me use a different word. This is a Christian vocabulary word that sometimes people get confused with. I have a burden for something, and I have a vision for something. Mm-hmm. And I'm wondering, like, maybe the burden can be a personal desire, but God may not give me a vision for it. Like, you and I travel. You go a lot of places, and you really get a burden to pray for a certain place.
Sure,
but
sure,
you don't have a personal vision for that place.
Right. I'm not gonna move there.
Yeah, but you've, yeah, got a burden for it. And sometimes in our naivety, and this is where, yeah, leadership comes in, you can actually think that, okay, I've got a vision for this place, and it's really just a burden.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a burden, you know, and we can have a burden for all kinds of people. It could be young people, children, abused children. It could be for divorced people. It could be, you know, for all kinds of people with different issues going,
yep,
down.
Yep.
I have a burden, but I don't have a vision to be a person that's going to be heading that up or something,
mm-hmm,
or going to be totally involved. I might have a burden. We have a burden for a lot of things.
Think, yes,
about, you know, do I have a burden for the Chinese? Yes. Do I have a burden for people in India? Yes, but God hasn't told me to move there.
When you start talking to people and they say, I've got a vision for six things. I've got a vision for eight things.
Yeah.
You know, I've got a vision for this and a vision for that. He's like, this guy is really a visionary. Maybe they just have a compassionate heart,
yeah,
and they have a burden for a lot of things. Like, I have a burden for orphans. I have a burden for young couples. I have a burden for, you know, senior citizens. I've got a burden for all these different people. And I try to run in a vision in all those things. And I've got to be careful that I don't try to make burdens visions, because that's what God does. That graduation from a burden to a vision is organically and mystically,
yes,
and spiritually a move of God.
Yeah.
And leadership comes in and they confirm that.
Yeah. My wife had a burden which became a vision for orphans.
Yes.
Now we have 364, 74 orphans that we're kind of behind in different churches.
Sure.
And by the way, every orphan, here's the vision that God gave me about orphans.
Mm-hmm.
I want the orphans to be in a church, a,
okay,
Greater Grace church with a Greater Grace Christian school and the Greater Grace Bible school,
mm-hmm,
and be with Greater Grace parents.
Okay.
Yeah, it was not just, nothing wrong with supporting orphans without that, doing it another way.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm telling you what God told me to do.
Mm.
And so all of our children are in a Greater Grace church,
mm-hmm,
and Christian school and Bible school.
Mm-hmm. Well, I like the idea that it's not just a check in the mail. I like the idea, yeah, that there's a relationship. I like the idea that they're being raised up in the admonition of the Lord with grace-oriented people, yeah, and a grace-oriented church getting a grace-oriented,
yes,
word.
Yes, it's key. And that was a vision.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a vision, and it was a great burden, and there was a vision. Mm-hmm. There's a burden in the vision,
yes,
obviously. And I wouldn't say that was one of my first thoughts about Africa missions, orphans.
No.
No, it was not. But my wife had the idea, and then we prayed about it, thought about it, and put it together. God put, yeah, it together, you know?
I like how that graduates, this idea of having a burden that matures into a vision.
Yeah.
Because it's like the vision that's tarrying, it actually might be something that necessarily is not a burden. It's not a vision at all. It may tarry and it may actually just be a burden. And in my heart, this is where leadership comes in. This is where counsel comes in. This is where patience comes in. This is where I have to say, okay, God, you put this on my heart. It's like, you know, someone comes, they speak, you're moved emotionally, you feel something in your heart, and maybe you're still thinking about it over a season, over a period of time, like, man, I really like to help orphans. And you have a burden for that. And you may give to that. You may go visit that. You may talk about that. And again, it's at that stage. But I really feel at a maturity level, as God in the spirit of a man or a woman, he begins to mature that thought, and it evolves from a burden into a vision, and then leadership is involved, and there's feet to the vision. Like Steve says, you get a vision, and it begins to take you forward. And a burden is different than a vision, because a burden could be seasonal. It could actually be seasonal. It could also be something that you're not so heavily involved in, but you seriously care about. It moves your heart. Your heart is moved. Compassion. It can be emotional, but it could be like a concern. On the other side of that, a vision tends to be more structured. A vision tends to be more integral. A vision may involve a lot more people. A vision may involve you moving. A vision may involve you more of a plan, more of more of an organization to it than, say, a burden. You're not going to get 15 visions. I talk to guys and they say, oh yeah, I got a vision for this and a vision for that. And I want to have a school and I want to have a house. And some of those might be visions. I often think about over the years when I've went to, done missions in different countries, I've often said like, okay, we're going to have, you know, we're doing the registration of the church. We have a vision as a church to do 25 things. And I'm going to really, and then I'm going to God saying, okay, God, this is on my heart. I have a burden for it. And some of those things may never happen, but you know, it's just a burden for it. And we'll take a few comments from our online audience here. Thank you for clarifying. Elizabeth says that burdens can become visions, yet lots of prayer on my part, other praying counselors, then the spirit moves. Carol Bailey says, is there a vision to provide transportation to people who want to come to church and want to go on outreach for the elderly that are not in a nursing home but need love and help? I believe somewhere, Carol, there is. I'm not aware of that, but if you reach out to us off air or after the program, we can try to help you with that.
Mm-hmm.
Kia Queen says, thank you for this. This is, I guess we're talking about the burden and the gift conversation. Elizabeth again says, question, why do some people that do not share their personal vision or burden with a multitude of mature counselors? You kind of mentioned that earlier.
I don't know why. Maybe they're not really sure of their vision.
But you said earlier, like, you shouldn't tell a lot of people. Like, Ezra didn't
do that. Oh, a multitude of mature counselors. Yeah, you don't need to walk around telling everybody about your vision. You know, I mean, I'm not saying there's certainly a balance to that, you know,
mm-hmm.
if you're promoting something. But are you, first of all, going to the leadership and telling them and asking them about the vision you have? Because what if they say, well, we really don't have that as a vision.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I got a vision to reach pygmy people. Well, we don't have a whole lot of them around here. So, you know, that's great. But maybe we can help you to find an area of the world where there are those type of people and how you could support them,
sure.
help them in one way or the other. So,
I'd also say, too, Elizabeth, that maybe in the genesis of this thing, when it's a burden or it's growing into a vision, a lot of things are not framed up. A lot of things are not clear to you. It's like you don't have a lot of – you don't right. begin with clarity. It's kind of like you see through a glass darkly. God is unveiling – revelation is progressive. So yeah. God is progressively revealing it to you. Like you said, Mama Linda had a vision for orphans. You didn't know where that was going to go to. And then you and her prayed about it and you talked about it. And it began to get momentum. But as soon as God gave it to her, she wasn't on the phone talking to 100 people.
Yeah.
No, it's like you want to include people in a vision where something is concrete, not like we're trying to figure this out. So I would say – it's like anything else, you know, you want to start slow and you want to be quiet a little bit in the beginning. Let God speak, give direction. As he said a lot about vision, in a vision, there's a lot of direction. But if you don't have clarity, how can you give direction?
Here's a great verse to finish with. Habakkuk 2, chapter 2, verses 1 through 4.
Mm-hmm.
Write the vision and make it plain so they who read it can run.
Yep.
Write the vision. promote the vision. Put the vision down. Preach the vision. Talk about the vision and make it clear and plain so those who read it can run with it. This is so important. Mm-hmm. Some people have a vision, but it's very abstract. It's not precise and specific. It's not simple and clear.
Yeah.
Livingstone had a vision to reach Africa, and he made it very simple and very clear and very scriptural.
Mm-hmm.
And this is so key. So putting that vision out there and praying about that, you know,
mm-hmm.
and making sure that before you try to promote that vision, you would talk with a pastor or people that have a vision to lead the church, mm-hmm. and they got that from God, and they are leaders in the church, and they would say, this is a great idea.
Yes.
Not about everything, not about like, you know, should I pray which grocery store? I have a vision for a certain grocery store I'm going to shop at. We're not talking about that. We're talking about something very precise, very personal, very practical, that you go to people and you ask people for wisdom and advice and counsel.
Yep. I think that maybe if you're not sure of what God is giving you, to run around and tell the entire body of Christ that that's from God and you're doing it, you can mislead people. And imagine you say, I've got this burden to reach pygmies on the moon.
Yeah.
God's really showed me the moon in a vision. You're running with that. You talk to your whole family. I've seen people run around and say, I went to Africa. I'm going to Africa now. Everything's going to happen now. I'm doing all these things. And then nothing happened.
Nothing happened.
Maybe it's better to talk to a pastor, talk to mature counselors, a few, and just mm-hmm. pray. And let God speak and let God lead. And when you do that, you take sure steps. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord in Psalm 37:23. He orders our steps. And he's not fast. God often has us walking more than he has us running.
And be available to God's yes and God's no.
That's a good one.
If God says no, then don't proceed on with it. If God says yes, go for it, you know, mm-hmm. and whatnot. But really be available to counsel and be available to the scriptures, be available, be under preaching. Are you in a place that has a vision already? This is so key.
Beautiful. Thank you so much for joining us today. This has been a great week on the vision of God for your life. You can go back throughout the week and listen to the programs and think with us through the week about what we've talked about concerning vision. You can also join us at 602 Moravia Park Drive Sunday from 9 and 11 in the morning, and also 6:30 in the evening. We'd love to see you for service and see the vision of God worked out in your life right here. Thank you so much, and God bless.